Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Amen. Our God is awesome, and He is worthy to be praised. Amen. Blessed be His holy name. Thank you, all of you that's tuning in right now. My name is Pastor Teddy Santos from Baltimore Christian Faith Center. Welcome all of you right now to the house of the Lord. Amen. It's good to have you here. It's good for you to be here to worship with us and to be with us right now and in this time that we have set aside to worship the Lord and to hear His word, to understand what the Spirit is saying. It's a joyful time for me to share the word of the Lord with you. Praise be to His name. I want to start on the word of God right away. My scripture list is not very long, but I do want to get in depth on a subject that I think it's very important for us to thoroughly understand. A subject that is just as important for me, myself, as it is to anybody else who seeks a closer relationship with God. So without any further ado, let's go ahead and start with a word of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, we bless Your holy name. Lord, we love You. Thank You, Lord, so much for this opportunity, Lord, that I have to share the word of God. I want to thank You, Lord, for the lives that are touched, Lord, by this live stream. Thank You so much, Lord, that Your Holy Spirit goes out and conquers. Thank You, Father. And I pray, Lord, that right now for everyone who's listening to this and watching this and everyone who's here, I pray, Lord, that Your Holy Spirit will speak to them on a one-on-one basis. Thank You, Lord, so much. Be glorified this evening. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Praise God. The verse that we're going to be reading this evening is coming from 1 Peter. If you don't mind turning your pages with me right now to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, we're going to start in verses 5. And we're going to read just a few verses. 1 Peter 5:5, and we're going to take it all the way to verses 8. Let me give you guys a brief moment right now to turn. All right. If you're there, say amen. Amen. We're all there. Yes. Amen. All right. I'm ready for that, please. And the word of the Lord says, likewise, you, younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because the adversary, the enemy, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Praise the Lord. I have heard, and maybe you also have, countless messages about the final part of the verses that we just finished reading right now in verses 8. Especially the second part that says, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking who he's going to get. Where is his next prey? We are all, and when I say we, right now I want to specify the Christian people, the body of Christ, those that are fervent with God. I honestly believe that we are the ones that are mostly under attack, always. There are times when things go a certain way, things are going great, business is great. Family life is great, church life is great, and then all of a sudden, You hit a wall. All of a sudden, there's a chain of events that happen or starts happening, and you can't explain why. Sometimes we are affected on our health, right? This evening, the title is Regardless of Feelings. I want to talk about feelings right now. I'm getting ready to explain why. The enemy may or may not cause the difficult situation that you might be going through right now. Again, the difficult situation that you are going through right now, if you're going through some tough times or a situation, whatever the case might be by the enemy or not. Sometimes we, in Brazil, we have a cliche that, and I think it's in a different way, it's mentioned in a different way here in the United States in English, but it goes simply like this. It says, sometimes you like to cause a hurricane in a cup of water, right? It sounds kind of weird in English. Excuse me, it sounds much better in Portuguese, but you understand the concept. Creating a hurricane in a little cup of water, right? You understand that analogy, so to speak. Basically making a big deal out of something that's small or that's not even there, that doesn't exist. Those things are self. That's potentially a type of personality or something like that. And sometimes the difficult situations, yes, it does come from the enemy, where all seems hopeless, and we're going through time of trials and difficult situations. But now, removing the enemy from the equation, right? Even if he's not responsible for the situations that we are in, the Bible says that he is prowling around to take advantage of it in the hopes that he picks you off. Sometimes when we create the situation in life or this particular mindset, we are so caught up in that particular emotion, in that particular feeling, that we don't see anything else. And the Bible right now is saying how the enemy is just roaring around, seeking whom he may devour. Now, what does a roaring lion most likely attacks? The strays. The ones on the fringes. And those not keeping up with the flock. On my Facebook, there is there's a section there of videos, right? And then you click a video, and then like next time you're on Facebook, all these familiar videos show up, like related to what you watched in the past, right? And I guess I must have clicked on these safari videos where I see a lot of like lion attacks, right? So when I go to the video, there's always these battles between this animal and that animal, and sometimes I just like to watch it, see, you know, who's going to win this tussle right here. Some of them is, you know, videos of how the prey escaped, you know, the jaws of the lion, and, you know, the compadre came and rescued his buddy here from the jaws of, you know, the prey and all of that. One thing that I find very much common, several videos, is you see this herd just shooting by full speed. They're just running. And you have all these lions lined up on the side. Sometimes they're on both sides of this running herd, right, of bulls or of, you name it, elk or whatever the case might be. And one thing in common is the lion always goes for the last one, or the one that is away from the whole group, from the whole flock, jumps on them. It's only been one video that I saw that the lioness was just sitting there waiting with his stance looking. And it seemed like the male lion just got so upset at waiting, just like walked over her and just charged at this herd and basically just tackled down a bull. And eventually, you know, that was lunch. But the point that I'm trying to make is that the lion seeks the one that is away from the flock. It might be going around the flock, right? It might be stalking, but it always seeks the one that is most vulnerable to attack. Always. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? I want you to now apply this, can I call it theory, but this thought that I just finished explaining right now to our spiritual life. Because here, the enemy right now is compared to a roaring lion. Spiritually, the ones most likely to be attacked are those who are not spiritually with it, that are not there, worried about the bombardment of problems, worried about different things of life, being distracted by all these different things. What happens is that they start to become separated from something. There's a detachment from something. It could be lots of things. We're going to get to it in just a moment. But when you start focusing on all these other things besides what you should be focusing on, you start separating yourself. And then the enemy, the Bible says, like a roaring lion, picks them off. I don't want to say snipe them. I just want to say grab them, right? Because they're not with the pack. Because they don't have it spiritually together. The enemy is especially masterful at taking advantage of people's feelings. And this is where I want to focus a lot of my attention this evening. When we don't watch, when we don't pray, when we don't watch and pray, we become very vulnerable. And here is where the enemy comes and attacks. He attacks our feelings. And all too often, we are dominated by our emotions rather than facts. Or, as we could say, the facts meaning the truth of God. The truth of God is facts, His ways. And in such a circumstance, it is easy for us to get our feelings hurt when we ignore the truths of God, the facts, and proceed ultimately to lie to ourselves, just as the enemy did to himself when he first sinned. He lied to himself. Now, the most important thing that we can take away from the verses that we just finished reading is the understanding and the knowledge. But not just understanding and knowledge, but now we need to also transform it into a belief and a conviction that humility is a choice. We choose humility. This is not something that just comes natural. We can go one of two ways. We can be prideful. We could be humble. Whichever way you go, you choose one of the two. Peter says right here, humble yourselves, right? In verses 6, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Thank you, brother. Right there, verses 6, let me see where that is. Right there in the middle of the screen. It says, humble yourselves. Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Very important. We can choose to go the right way. And when we do, what happens is we humble ourselves. Humility is not a feeling, but a state of mind wherein a person sets his course to submit to the Lord, regardless of their feelings. And this is why there's a difference. Regardless of what your feelings, regardless what you're going through right now, good times or bad times, humility is a state of mind. This, I will have to say, sometimes this could be a terribly hard thing to do. To humble yourself as far as a particular situation, a particular circumstance. Sometimes that's like, man, say, what? Humble myself towards a particular person? You know what they did to me? You know how much they hurt me? Do you have any idea? But that's right. Humbling ourselves is not a feeling. It's a state of mind. And along these lines, fasting makes us think about our life, our life-sustaining provisions. You know that when you fast, for example, I'm going to use fasting right now as an example. That's not something that is ingrained in you. It's not something that's built in. Your naturally body wants to feed itself, wants to nourish itself. But ultimately, fasting comes from the outside of us. Like similarly to the food that you eat, the liquid that you drink, even the air that you breathe is something that comes from outside, right? We don't have self-sustaining lives, right? These are all things that we take in. Now, as far as spiritually is concerned, spiritual provision is from the exact same source. The necessities that sustain spiritual life and produce the kind of strength that we want to have, the strength that we need, that we know we need to overcome, the sense of well-being that we desire, along with a clear conscience. How much emphasis do we put on clear conscience? I know I do. I want to have a clear conscience all the time. All these things are vital nutrition that only comes from one source. And that source is God, the Lord. They are directly tied to our submission to Him. Because the Word of God says that God resists the proud. But then He does something else. He gives grace to the humble. What does that mean? He gives favor to the humble. He gives gifts to the humble person. But to the proud person, He casts them off to the side. The Bible says He resists. He stops it. All dealing with humility. But He gives gifts to the humble. He gives favor to the humble. If we are waiting for a feeling to come along before we submit to God, well, I'm here to say that we're going to be waiting for a very long time. You know, when we humble ourselves, that's a choice that we make. It's not a feeling. We must choose to be humble. You know, this feeling that you're waiting for, it may come, okay? But also, it may not. And now, do you want to roll the dice in what's actually going to happen? However, we may use feeling in the sense of a decision that is reached. I'm not saying that we shouldn't rely on our feelings. No, Not at all. When we say that we felt we had to go a certain direction, we may not be speaking of an emotional feeling at all. In this case, our feeling is correct and would be the right understanding of 1 Peter 5 that we just finished reading. The way things, and I'm starting to understand this more and more as time goes on, and this is something that I've been struggling with for a long time, and now by the grace of God, I'm starting to understand how we are not robots. We're not robots. The Lord created this wonderful being, and I'm not just referring to myself, I'm talking about mankind, you and I, with emotions, with feelings, with comprehension, understanding, intelligence, great amount of intelligence. We can make our own choices. We can choose to be mad at the situation or not. Right? We can choose so many different things in life. And a lot of times those choices are made out of feelings. You know the terminology, the gut feeling, right? I feel led to. That's okay. A lot of times for us who trust in God, we're led by the Lord, right? Us sons of God, we're led by the Lord. We're led by God. And sometimes it boils down to this feeling, to this conviction that you have. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not preaching against that. I am nonetheless speaking about humility, which is not a feeling. That is a choice. We can choose to humble ourselves before God. So that way He will bless us. He will show us grace. He won't resist us. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Our part in settling the disagreement with God is to be humble before the Lord. This is our part. This is what we should do. The separation will not be bridged until we do what Adam and Eve did not do, which was humbly submit to God and God alone. If they wholeheartedly submitted to the Lord, do you think they would have given ear to the enemy, to the serpent? No. But this is what the Lord is calling us to do. For every single one of us, to choose humility, to choose after Him. May I please have Isaiah chapter 66, verses 2. For all those things my hand has made, and all those things exist, says the Lord. But on this one will I look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word. Right now, in the verse that we just finished reading, I want to place emphasis on the part that says, on this one will I look. That is a strong statement. The Lord right now is making a declaration right now. This is how it is. On this particular person. On this one will I look means I will pay attention to that person, right there. God is going to pay close attention, heed per se, to that particular individual. It is another way of saying that He will draw closer to such a man. He will draw closer to such a woman. On this one, right? And what else does it say? On that individual, I can take that verse once again, please, if you're able to put it up. On him who is what? poor and of a contrite spirit, otherwise humble, and who trembles at my word, on that particular person, I will pay attention. Who humbles themselves. James chapter 4 reinforces the importance of humility in a relationship that we have with God. How important it is for humility to exist in order for us to grow. I'm ready for that verse, please. May I have James chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. But he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud. Here's that word again. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts. You, that's double-minded. There's so much information right now in James 4 at this very moment, which I'm going to leave that for the next time. But right now, do you see the importance for us to be in tune with God? For us to be one with the Lord? I'm going to bring up a special section here of my notes. And I'm going to just open up my Bible study here. Praise God. James 4, 6 and 8. In verses 6, he says, but he gives more grace. More grace to every single one of us who humble themselves. Verses 6 says, therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives favor, but gives grace, but gives blessing to the humble. And now the key thing here, because the enemy is mentioned right now in verses 7 again, therefore, submit yourselves to God. Thank you, Dion. Submit yourselves to God. And then it says, resist the devil, and he is going to run. He is going to flee from you. Those things do not separate themselves. They go hand in hand. If you want to overcome, if you want to be able to resist, if you want to be able to stand those petty darts that the enemy throws in the hopes that he has a bite, in the hopes that he might be able to cause damage, right here in James 4, it's going to give you all of that. Humble yourself. In verse 7, therefore, submit yourself to God. Be part of the inner circle. Verses 8 says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. If you're close to the pack, if you're close to the fellowship, if you draw near to the things of God and the Lord himself, the enemy cannot touch you. He cannot touch you. He can bark all he wants. He can try this and he can try that and try to attack your feelings. The Bible says he's going to run. He's going to flee. And now, can you please put up verses 10, please? Which is the kicker right now in James chapter 4 that says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Are you connecting the dots right now? Regardless of your feelings, regardless of your emotions, regardless of what you're going through right now, the key thing that we must always, always keep in mind is to humble ourselves before God. That's it. You tell me now, how important right now is humility? How important it is for our Christian growth, for our development, right? For our spiritual muscle. It's everything. It plays a major role in producing obedience and thus an excellent relationship with our God. To put it another way, humility manifests itself in obedience. It is the attitude of ready submission to God's will, as well as an expression of complete dependence on God when we obey. This quality of character is essential for spiritual growth. It is essential when you witness to other people about God. You want to have a heavy impact every single time you witness to someone? Right? Here we go. Here's the recipe. This is the recipe right now. You want to be an evangelist? You want to have your success rate to be 100% every single time? Here we go. We start with submission to the Lord. You want to be able to glorify God with everything that you have? Your praise and worship, to do all these things, to heal the sick, to cast out demons, to bring the presence of God down. We submit to God. And God says that He will honor us 100%. The Bible reveals an order to these things. And that order is this. It first starts with humility, which is a choice. We've determined it's a choice. Then submission, then obedience, and the final part is honor. First comes humility, then comes submission, then comes obedience. When all these three are set in place, honor will be the fourth thing. That is going to be the result. And this is what we read in 1 Peter 5. You're going to find it in verses 5 and 6. The concept of self-denial is at the heart, is at the very heart of Paul's teaching on submission to God. This concept right now of self-denial. We have died with Christ and must sacrifice ourselves for Him. He takes precedence. He is more important. In Titus 2, Paul writes of the grace of God training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions. That is, to deny what self-desire wants. That'll be my final verse for this evening. May I please have Titus chapter 2, verses 12. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. Self-denial, folks, requires genuine humility and genuine submission to the Lord. It's got to be genuine. Because if not, it's just simply a counterfeit. It's merely a counterfeit. Genuine self-denial will produce humility and will produce submission to God. How important is this in our faith walk? Very important. Amen?
Amen.
So, regardless of feelings, regardless of emotions, regardless of the circumstance, whatever it might be, let's always choose to humble ourselves before God. And when we do that, nothing will touch you. Nothing whatsoever. It does not matter what. But we first have to start with humbling ourselves, regardless of our feelings. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Let's conclude with a word of prayer. Lord, we bless your holy name. Lord, we exalt you. Thank you, Lord, so much for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for the love that you have for us, your grace, your abundant grace. And Lord, all that we have to do is to wholeheartedly submit ourselves to you, 100%. Regardless of, Lord, outside influence, regardless of things, Lord, that is trying to attack our morale, our feelings, our emotions, Lord, may we wholeheartedly trust in you and in you alone. We give you all the honor, Lord, and all the praise. Help us, Lord, to humbly walk in your presence and trust in you, Lord, in every single thing. Lord, as we always say, we love you and we will always love you for as long as we live. And it is in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.